Okay, let's get started. In order to introduce our topic, our new topic, I want to read a question that was posed to the ethicist of the New York Times. The ethicist is a weekly column that is printed in the New York Times Magazine over the weekend, and the following question was posed to the ethicist in 2002. As follows, I quote, "The courteous and competent real estate agent I just hired to rent my house shocked and offended me when, after we signed our contract, he refused to shake my hand, saying that as an Orthodox Jew, he did not touch women. As a feminist, I oppose sex discrimination of all sorts. However, I also support freedom of religious expression. How do I balance these conflicting views?" And the ethicist of the New York Times, purportedly the most ethical person in the world, at least the most ethical in New York, which may not sound so good, but in any case, the ethicist responds as follows. Part of it, I'll redact it. "Though the agent dealt you only a petty slight without ill intent, you're entitled to work with someone who will treat you with the dignity and respect he shows his male clients. Sexism is sexism," and the ethicist advises her to rip up the contract. Calling an offensive action religious doesn't make it right. By the way, the name of the ethicist is Randy Cohen, who happens to be Jewish. So that's our topic, shaking hands in particular in the workplace. We're going to divide it into three segments. One is very short, two is a little longer, and three is going to be longer. Segment number one is the challenges of dealing with females, or females with males, males with females in the secular workplace. The Rambam says in Hilchos Isurei Bia as follows, "Ein lecha davar b'chol haTorah kula," there's nothing in the entire Torah that is as difficult for the majority of people, ela min ha'arayos v'abios asruos, avoiding inappropriate sexual relations and other interactions with people of the opposite gender. So that's the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch also stresses this and says in Shulchan Aruch, Eben Ezer Simon Chafalev, Tzarech Adam, Nisrachek, Me'anashi, Me'od, Me'od. We have to distance ourselves from women. What is Me'od, Me'od? A lot, a lot. So he's stressing to us that this is a big challenge, and he goes on to say that we can't flirt with them. We can't wink at them, for example. We can't smell their perfume. We have to make sure that we maintain somewhat of a distance without getting too attached and acting inappropriately when interacting with people of the opposite gender. This applies both to men and women. It is not only a prohibition on the man, it's a prohibition of the woman as well. There's a Gemara in Yevamos that says that the prohibitions of the Torah applies both ways, men and women, and also this pasuk, L'sikrav l'gal serva, which we will be talking about, don't come close to revealing nakedness. The sikravu is the language of yachido rabim, plural or single test. So it's plural test. Lo sikravu, before Hashem say that applies both to men and to women. Another important point, when is it prohibited to start these interactions? For example, we'll be talking about negiah in a little bit. It's from what age of the woman? So it's when the woman is a anita. When a woman becomes anita is when it's prohibited. And anita means what? When she
has
her period. Now, does it mean when she's actively having her period, meaning in between periods is not a problem? No. Somebody asked me that once. It says that it's when she's actively menstruating. How do you know? When she's in a bad mood, you know, whatever it may be. So that's not the case. It means once she starts menstruating from the get-go, whatever age may be, 11, 12, 13, until she goes to mikvah, when getting married, she has the status of a nida, a Jew and a non-Jew as well. Okay, so we're not going to go into, we've talked in the past about the challenges of gender issues in the secular workplace. We're going to focus now on negiah. What does negiah mean?
Touching.
Negiah means touching. It literally means touching, but in our context it means inappropriate touching of somebody of the opposite gender. So negiah. So we're going to divide up now into the general concepts of negiah, and then we're going to apply it to shaking of hands. Okay, when it comes to the lachas of negiah, there is a machlokis in the Gemara and Shabbos. What categories of touching are biblically prohibited? There's one opinion that says that it's only relations with somebody that one is prohibited to. be it a married woman, a woman who's a nida, or a relative that one is prohibited to marry. So the Gemara says, one opinion of the Gemara is that only relations is biblically prohibited, but other negiah, other touchings, is rabbinic in nature. And the other opinion of the Gemara is that no, even more than relations, other touchings also are prohibited on a biblical level. This is also an important machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam is of the view that the prohibition applies to all intimate touchings, not only relations. For example, kissing and hugging somebody that one is prohibited to. And they should see somebody's married, somebody's a nida, somebody's a close relative, is prohibited biblically, not only relations according to the Rambam, but also hugging and kissing. And according to the Ramban, the biblical prohibition only applies to relations, but otherwise it is a rabbinic prohibition. It's neither here nor there. Either way, it's prohibited, but that's an important machlokas. The second important machlokas in the poskim is there an intent condition to violate the prohibition? In other words, is there is a mens rea? Who can tell me what a mens rea is? An intent. And what would be the possible intent here? Relations, or maybe even short of relations.
Affection.
It could be, what's that?
Affection.
Affection. Very good. It's amorous, affection. So amorous, from the freedictionary.com, means strongly attracted or disposed to love, especially sexual love, indicative of love or sexual desire. It doesn't necessarily mean that the person wants to drop into bed right then with her, but it can be an amorous and affectionate touching. The Rambam would say that that is a requirement. In other words, without that component, the mens rea, the intent, the derech chiba, the affection, there would not be a biblical prohibition according to the Rambam. So the Rambam says as follows in Hilchos Isurei Biyah, Kol habal, erev, anyone who has intimate contact, derech evarim, through limbs, hugs, kisses, derech taiva, v'nehene pekirubasr, in the way of taiva, in a lustful way, nehene, he has hana, is an amorous touching, hareze lokamina Torah, it is an iser doraisa. So it comes out, according to the Rambam, that the prohibition is broader on the types of the contact. It's not only relations, but it's other contact as well. It's any intimate contact, but there does need to be a mens rea, an intent that it is derechib, it's an amorous touching. If it's not an amorous touching, then it would be rabbinic or permitted according to the Rambam. What do we say according to the Rambam? It would be permitted. Rachamim is correct, it would be permitted. The Shach says in explaining the Rambam, there are those who read differently in the Rambam, by the way. The Beis Yosef reads the Rambam, he brings an opinion that says that it would be prohibited. I guess that means somebody is smoking in the dorm?
Yeah. No, it happens like every day.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Multiple times.
Not on Shabbos though.
Sometimes
Does sage in the room?
It happens on Shabbos
though. Maybe we should wait till after that. Daniel, we'll edit it.
If you start your thought again.
What?
If you start your thought again, then we can edit it out.
What was my thought? I don't even know what I was thinking.
Start from the beginning of the sentence.
Okay, so according to the Rambam, it turns out that touching, derechiba, touching in an amorous way is biblically prohibited, but there is an intent, meaning the touchings are broader. The prohibited touchings on a biblical level is broader in the Rambam, but you need the intent. It needs to be amorous, it needs to be an affectionate touching, or else there's no prohibition. That's how the Shach understands the Rambam as follows. He comments in two places. It's only prohibited if it is derech chibas bia, if it is a real amorous sexual touching, but if it's not, if it's an innocent touching, it would be permitted. And the Shach in a second place says that's what all the doctors, those in the medical field, rely on, that if the touching is innocent, it's not derechib, it's permitted. You can take the pulse of a woman. If somebody comes into the emergency room, the doctor, the Jewish doctor wearing the yarmulke, is not saying, oh, go to the non-Jewish doctor, or I'm not going to touch you because you're married, or I'm not going to touch you because you're not Jewish, whatever it is, though female. He's going to do what's necessary medically because it would be non-derechib, it would be a non-amorous touching. If it is an amorous touching, it is prohibited. Yes?
Does this not have anything?
It does, because it does have to do with the... You can't. That's when the prohibition, the biblical prohibition, kicks in. When the woman starts menstruating. So
it doesn't matter if it's affectionate or not.
No, the Rambam saying in the Rambam, the Shach is explaining only if it is amorous is there a prohibition.
Even if she's a nida, we're not talking
about a husband. By the way, we're talking about non-husbands. We're going to leave husbands for somebody else to discuss. That's not going to be our topic. Yes, Rachman.
I think I've read somewhere that even pre-nida, like it's not like.
We're talking on a biblical level right now. Biblically. So it turns out as follows, and this is what Rav Moshe Feinstein explains in the Rambam, and this is the Pashas of the Shach in the Rambam. It comes out as follows. Touchings that are amorous are biblically prohibited. Non-amorous touchings are permitted. Permitted, and there's no rabbinic prohibition. That's where it comes out in the Shach. Now the second opinion... There is an opinion, the Stechemet and others, that says even in the Rambam only permitted touchings if there was a need, for example, a medical need. But if there's no medical need, even though it's not an amorous touching, it is then prohibited, but biblically or rabbinically? Rabbinically. So it turns out, based on the Stechemet explaining the Rambam, that it's of an amorous touching, it is biblically prohibited. If it's a non-amorous touching and there's a need, for example, a medical need, it is permitted. But if it's non-amorous and there's not a real need, we're in the middle camp, it's rabbinically prohibited. And this third opinion is brought by Rabbeinu Yonah. He brings a medrash comparing a woman to a eshtecha kekefen goria, comparing a woman to eshtecha, your wife, kekefen, is like a vine. How is she like a vine? So he explains as follows. What's a vine? A vine, when it comes to a Nazareth is prohibited to have wine. That was his oath. But not only wine, he can't have, what else? Grapes, byproducts, raisins, the klipa, the shell, whatever it is prohibited. So too, a man is prohibited to have any contact with the woman, even to touch her hand. Without a mens rea, without it being amorous, would be, according to the Rabbeinu Yonah, prohibited. Okay, that is all negia. We have three main opinions when it comes to negia in the Rambam, the Pashas of the Rambam, and the Shach, that if it's amorous, it's biblically, any touching, intimate touching, is biblically prohibited. If it's not amorous, it is mutter. And according to the second opinion, the Stechemet explaining the Rambam, if we have a medical need, it's mutter, but if we don't have a need, then there's a rabbinic prohibition, even if it's not amorous. And according to the third opinion, Rabbeinu Yonah, that he's the most strict, any touching, even if there's not an intent, touching the hand of the woman is prohibited. So real quickly, I want to read a letter after the ethicist said you should rip up the contract. The New York Times received hundreds of complaint letters from numerous Orthodox Jews and others saying we disagree with the psak of the ethicist, saying that this is sexism and the contract should be ripped up. I'm going to read one of them that was written by, she'll tell who she is. As a Jew, a feminist, and a future rabbi, I share the ethicist's contempt for discriminatory religious norms and practices. However, the practice of, quote, Shomer Negi, of refraining from engaging in any physical contact with members of the opposite sex who are not family does not fall into this category. Had the ethicist done his research, he would have known that the laws of Negi apply equally to both sexes and do not render either women or men peculiarly, quote, untouchable. These laws are based on the belief that platonic male-female contact can easily degenerate into sexual impropriety. Signed, Kara Weinstein Rosenthal of South Orange, New Jersey. Okay, so that's when it comes to Negia. Step two is applying those concepts to the shaking of hands. So first I want to define what is a handshake. So it goes as follows. Look up on Wikipedia. Wikipedia goes through the history of shaking of hands. It has these murals and artwork from 2,300 years ago or something, and Wikipedia defines a handshake as a short ritual in which two people grasp one of each other's opposite hands, in most cases accompanied by a brief up and down movement of the grasped hands. I think we've done away with that for the most part. Shaking hands is just a clasp. I don't think people really do the up and down anymore, when that used to be the case, but I think that's a little bit dated. So then they explain as follows. In Anglophone countries, shaking hands is considered the standard greeting in business situations. In casual non-business situations, men are more likely to shake hands than women are. Okay, so it's more of a men thing than a woman thing to do. But in the business context, men and women go also, that does happen all the time. Okay, modern customs, according to Wikipedia, we're not going to go through all of them. We're going to go through a couple relevant ones. Generally, it is considered inappropriate, if not outright insulting to the initiator side, to reject the handshake without good reason, such as, for example, somebody has an injured right hand. That would be, sorry, my arm is broken, I can't shake your hand. That would be an appropriate excuse to not shake somebody's hand. It is generally accepted. It is generally expected in Western culture that a male handshake should be firm. Weak handshakes are sometimes referred to as limp or cold. What's the appearance when somebody has a schwach handshake? What do you think?
Dead fish.
The dead fish. Does it appear good or doesn't appear so good? That doesn't give the best of it. Now, that's in Western countries. It goes on to say that in Oriental countries, handshakes are not as strong as in the Western countries. Okay, this comes up all the time. Ironically, this is oftentimes in the news when there are prominent people that either shake hands or refuse to shake hands for religious reasons. It comes up. It's not only for Jews, it's Muslims as well. There was an article about Michelle Obama shaking the hands with the king of Saudi Arabia, and that goes against the laws of Islam for opposite genders to be shaking hands. So that made the news. That was all over the place. And this happens, really, there have numerous stories. I'll just go through a few of them. Who here is from England? Okay, part of protocol when you meet the queen is what?
Hug.
Not a hug? You don't want to hug?
Bow. You bow.
No, you don't bow. Shaking hands. Shaking hands. You shake hands with the queen. So this is London. The queen knew not to shake hands with the Chabad Shaliach. Okay, so everyone see the picture there? See the picture? There's the Shaliach. Shliach HaChabad meeting the queen. So it says as follows. Rabbi Aryeh Sofrin was anxious, just like the scores of other people scheduled to meet the Queen of England, but for a different reason. What would he do if she reached her hand out for a handshake? What am I going to do if the queen lifts out her hand? Am I going to say, sorry, lady, I can't do that? So he was being dubbed. He was being dubbed a member of the British Empire for 18 years of work as the head of a drug and alcohol rehab center for Christians, Jews, and Muslims. So this is what's happening. He's being dubbed a member. I guess that's like a big deal, right? Become a member of... the drug rehab was for all religions. Not Christian Jews. Christians, comma, Jews, and Muslims. Okay. But she must have been briefed about him in advance, says the rabbi. He was interviewed afterward. Because at the end of their short meeting, the 83-year-old Queen Elizabeth, this is a few years ago, by the way, Elizabeth II, remembered to avoid the customary handshake, Baruch Hashem. This seems to happen a lot in England. English guys, who can tell me who this man is?
Prince William.
Prince William. I had no clue personally. I have an English. Sorry, I felt like we'd do this on TV, that I would blur out the faces. This is in Los Angeles. A friend of mine sent this to me. This is on the street. I actually recognize the street. And it was a from girl meeting Prince Williams. And she told him, sorry, I cannot. His hand is extended there. You see that? Sorry, I cannot shake your hand for religious reasons. He's a tremendous mensch, he understood. So we'll get to that story in a little bit. This has happened to Rav Ovadia Yosef, the Rishon Lezion. He was receiving the Israel Award, and it was being given to him by Prime Minister Golda Meir. With the whole world watching, and she extended her hand. And he did not reciprocate. If you can imagine, the Rishon LeZion, if he would have shaken hands with a female, that would have been bad news for Klal Yisrael. So he said, sorry, but I don't know what he said exactly, but I assume he said, sorry, I can't do this, especially because all the TV cameras are rolling. This also happened to Rav Mordechai Eliyahu. Now, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, it happened to him with the Queen of England. I don't know if it was before Rabbi Sofen or after Rabbi Sofen. Now, at that point, they had not briefed the Queen to not shake his hand. Mordechai Eliyahu, don't shake it. They didn't tell him. So she extended hands, and he said, I'm sorry, I cannot shake hands with you. That happened. That was on the videotape. Now, afterward, they looked up, and apparently in the protocols of the royalty in England, it does say don't extend hands. A woman should not extend hands to a Jewish rabbi. So the rabbi, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, got an apology letter saying, we apologize. We did not follow protocol of not shaking hands. So that's a very proper English thing to do, to apologize when you wrong somebody. So what I'd like to do now is to, he was also one of the Rishon Lezions. He was also one of the chief rabbis of Israel. Yeah. What I'd like to go now is through the halachic analysis of what the poskim say when it comes to shaking of hands with women. So first we're going to go through four different rationales why there would be a prohibition to shake hands with somebody of the opposite gender. This applies both to men and women. A woman holds shaking a man's hand, a man shaking a woman's hand, applies also to non-Jews. Four different rationales why it would be prohibited. Okay, number one is fairly simple. The third opinion that we saw is Rabbeinu Yonah. What's the opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah? No touching. How about if it's non-amorous? Doesn't matter. Even touching the hand, Rabbeinu Yonah said, just bringing the Medrash, comparing it to the Nazir. Nazir can't have any grape products, so too you can't touch a woman who's not yours, not your wife. So based on that, Kipshuto, it absolutely is prohibited and may even be a biblical prohibition to shake hands. What if she initiates the handshake? Does not matter. The touching is what is the problem. Okay, so opinion number one. That's not in the Rambam. Rabbi Yonah is a contemporary. Was a Rishon also. And the Rabbeinu Yonah is stricter than the Rambam. Rabbeinu Yonah is of the view that any touching, even if it's not amorous, well, so the Rambam we'll have to get to. But in Rabbeinu Yonah, it would be a major prohibition to shake hands with a female. That's number one. Number two, in the Rambam, let's get into the Rambam now. The Rambam's view was touchings, at least in the Shach, touchings that are amorous are? Doraisa. If it is non-amorous, and you have a reason for it, it would be allowed. And then, in the middle case, right in the middle, that you don't have a good reason for it, the Shach would say, you know, maybe it's allowed. He talks about medicine, but maybe he would extend it. Others say it's a derabbanan. So the view... the Stechemet that says if you don't have a good reason, it's not a medical need, the lady isn't in the ER there, that she needs the pulse taken, it needs to be whatever it may be. If you're in that shaking hands, now we could, before we get to that, it's just simply shaking hands with a woman would be, according to the Stechemet, an Isser Dirabonim. Would be an Isser Dirabonim. It's not a medical need, it's not a real emergency. Greeting somebody in the social context, fine. Now we could say, but what if your whole parnas relies on that? Why isn't that any less than a medical need? Taking care of the lady, kind of take care of my parnasa. So we'll leave that aside for now. I don't know how broad we would expand the stechemet to say if there's a need. I don't know. But if there's not a real need, it would be at least, and even in the Rambam, according to the stechemet, an Isser Dirabonim. That's number two. Number three, let's get into the Rambam. Again, the Rambam's view is that if it is a non-amorous touching, it is mutter. That's what the Shach says. A non-amorous touching, it is mutter. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked, probably dozens and dozens of times, if a woman extends her hand, or even if you want to extend in the context of greeting somebody, is it a problem or is it not? So Rav Moshe wrote on this in three separate responsa. And we're going to go through each of them. The first two are one line long, and the third one is two lines long. Okay? That's the extent of it. He didn't need to write any more. He says as follows. In number one, Lahoshi Yad Leisha Kederech Hanosnim Shalom Bibaksham, to extend your hand to women and those that greet each other. Right? Extend, handshaking. He says as follows, Pashut She Asur. Not mother. Pashut Sarsa. He says, obviously it is prohibited. Even if she's not married. Why? Shaharei hen nidos. Because they are nidos. It's a nida. Above the age 11, 12, whatever it is. But all women have a status of a nida. V'kol shekein, certainly if she is married. You can't touch her. Now, why? He doesn't say in the first tshuva. In the second tshuva, he says as follows. He brings a shach. The shach says, if it's non-amorous touching, it's mutter. So Rav Moshe, basically, so why isn't handshaking permitted if it's going to be a non-amorous contact, right? That's our question. So Rav Moshe says this as follows. Ubadavar shera'isa, shiesh mekilim. It's this that you saw, that there are people that are lenient. Af miyirei Hashem, even God-fearing Jews, liten yad li'isha, to reciprocate when she initiates the handshake. Liten yad li'isha kishihi moshita, ulai, maybe they think, de'ein ze derachiba v'taiva. Maybe they think that this is a non-amorous touching. And then Rav Moshe says, ava lemaisa kashe lismach hazeh. Practically speaking, it is difficult to rely that that handshake is non-amorous. Why not?
And we mentioned before, one person, it could be more than what it is for the other.
It could be, and even if you start off, right?
Could yep. be the logic that we're not on that level. Like at some point, there could even creep yep. in one thought.
Yep. It could very easily go from non-amorous to, oh, right?
Right? Sign you could start with a handshake, and then next few greetings could be like a kiss on a cheek
right,
or something.
Right, right. So. To lead to something also. Yeah. So Rav Moshe in his third tshuva says, look, I answered this in my first tshuva, and I said it's prohibited. And in my second tshuva, I said maybe some people want to rely that it's not derechiba. But then he says, you have to be concerned that it is derechiba. You have to be concerned. It's easily going to go on the slippery slope going from innocent to non-innocent. So in three tshuvas, Rav Moshe says it's prohibited. Okay, where are we right now? We're on the side that even reciprocating, not initiating, but she extends first. Reciprocating is prohibited. First rationale was, it's based on Rabbeinu Yonah, that it is a biblical prohibition of negiah, even if it's non-amorous. Number two was in the Rambam. But this isn't the real need. So it would be, even if it's non-amorous, it is rabbinically prohibited. Rav Moshe says, even in the Rambam, that non-amorous touching is permitted. Maybe this is going to be derechiba. There's a slippery slope. And number four is Az Nibru. The Chubas Az Nibru says something interesting. And if you look at the language of the Rambam says, what's prohibited? A touching that is derech taiva v'chibas bia. What's derech? Derech taiva. In the way of taiva. What does that mean? So he says that as long as it is in the form of being amorous, derechiba, fondness, even though in substance your mind may be clean and clear and pure, the form of shaking hands is a sign of affection. That's what we are. We're showing affection to somebody. May not be sexual in nature, but it is a sign of affection. And so the Az Nibru says a fourth rationale, even if the mind is innocent, clean, clear, pure, no dirty thoughts on the mind, he says that's the form of affection which would be prohibited. Okay, so next question then. Thank you. The next question then is, well, isn't she going to be embarrassed if she extends and I say, sorry, can't shake your head. What do you think? Probably. Probably. So Rav Menashe Klein in his Tshuvas Mishnah Halachos was asked this question. And he basically says that even if she's going to be embarrassed, that's not a reason that we should be reciprocating. She's the one who's initiating the problem. I'm going to tame down his language a little bit. But she's the one who caused the busha. Because she initiated the, and she didn't know, fine, but that's, ultimately, she's the initiator of the problem. And he says, in addition, we cannot rely on the shach that this is non-amorous. Why not? He brings three reasons we cannot rely on the shach. Number one, there are poskim who disagree with the shach, and are of the view that even a non-amorous touching is prohibited. They even read the Rambam that way. That's number one. Number two, maybe the Shach was only saying in medical needs it's permitted to touch, but this is not medical. That's number two. And number three, it's like Rav Moshe, maybe an innocent touching is going to easily revert to be a non-innocent touching. So he says we cannot rely on the Shach. I will give you the most extreme opinion on this. The Chazon Ish was asked this question.
Even if she's embarrassed.
So even if she's embarrassed, Rav Menashe Klein said it's prohibited. We're not going to be matir an isser, even if she's embarrassed. And the Chazon Ish was of the view that shaking hands with a woman is even in the category of yehareg v'al yavor, that you should be killed for it rather than violating the prohibition. Why? Because he says it's under one of the big three, gilui arayos, illicit relations. He says shaking hands falls under that category. Now, guys, have a great week. No, okay, so there's a side to be lenient also. So we're going to get to the side to be lenient. Yeah, Max.
Wait, so according to Rav Menashe Klein, you said, he said that because she's initiating the embarrassment, that's why we don't.
He's saying you can't violate an issue, period. And in any case, he said she's the one initiating the embarrassment. I don't think it's embarrassing, but she's causing the problem anyway. So that was some of his language. But that wasn't the main point of it. It's more important is it's prohibited.
So the fact that it's just an isser, and then in addition
it's
to
an
that,
isser.
She's
yeah.
initiating it, so...
Yeah.
So if you were in that situation, you refused to shake the woman's hand, would you then shake hands with the men afterwards, or would you just be like, I'm just not going to shake anyone?
We'll talk in a little bit about practically how to deal with these issues. Yeah.
If it comes that the shaking of hands is in public, so there's other people around, and... Is it a case, if say, for example, they may not have a good perception of Judaism as it is, if they see you do this, is that? It's not really, you're not acting a chilu Hashem, you're doing what you're meant to be doing, it. But it's a case of, should you take that in mind, if you are around people who are kind of maybe not as observant, or they see that and they may be put off by religion?
The answer is you have to be sensitive to those issues for sure, but it's not going to permit violating an Isra Doraisa. Biblical prohibition. So yeah, how you do it, you have to be careful. Let me keep on going, because I think I'm going to answer a lot of these questions. Okay, there is a side to be lenient. Okay, so it goes like this. The majority view is to be strict. There is a side to be lenient. To be lenient, who do we have to rely on?
Rambam.
According to the Shach. The Shach. So the Shach explaining the Rambam that a non-amorous touching is permitted. Now, when looking at a couple of the Achronim that have written on this, there are two Achronim in particular we're going to go through, they did not want to rely on the Shach alone. In the sense that even if we're in the Shach and it's a non-amorous touching, it doesn't mean we should be the initiator. It's only reciprocating. If a woman initiates through the handshake, we can reciprocate. And they bring three different rationales why. We don't want to embarrass her, so we can rely on the Shach. Number two, we have to have in mind Lashem Shemaim. We're doing this for the proper purpose. And number three, as was mentioned by Simon, we have to be sensitive to the fact that people are watching us. And we don't want them to think that we are rash, unpolished, and unpolite. We have to come off as having proper manners. So for those three reasons in addition, they are lenient. Meaning that it's not only the Shach. They look for other rationales to bolster when we could be lenient. So... there's a Sefer LeDavid Tzvi that Rav Shlomo Karlbach, not the singer, Rav Shlomo Karlbach was the Rav of Liebeck. He lived 1845 to 1919. So he was the Rav of Liebeck for, I think I read, about 50 years. And he writes very interestingly, he brings a story here that he used to interact with a very knowledgeable and wise lady in his community, but she refused to cover her hair. The Torah requires a woman to cover the hair. So he used to say to her, why don't you cover her hair? And her response to him was, why do you shake hands with women? That was their dialogue. And he couldn't get it through to you that there's a fundamental difference. They're both tznius, right? There's a fundamental difference. He would say to her, covering the hair is required, period. Shaking of hands, he says, is rocking niskav and is only prohibited if you have the intent that when you're touching, I'm having hana, I'm having benefit. It's an amorous touching. But it's not an amorous touching, it's not prohibited. So he wrote this, he was writing a certain article, and in the introduction he writes as follows. He says, touching, the basis for prohibiting shaking hands is that if it's amorous, it's prohibited. If it's not amorous, it's permitted. He said, I used to be strict about this. However, so many people in Germany, so many women didn't know it was prohibited, they would come, extend their hand, And it was getting so difficult trying to explain and saying no and this. And he says, "Ve'ein lecha biyush gadol yoser mizeh." There is no bigger disgrace to somebody to refuse to extend and reciprocate a handshake. So he says, based on that, he said, I'm going to be relying. And also, we have to be sensitive to them. We have covered abrios here. We have to be sensitive to their not embarrassing them. He said, based on that, I changed my view, my act, that he would reciprocate when a woman would extend her hand. Now, clearly, he's relying on the shachir. It has to be an innocent touching, non-amorous. He's saying, in order to not avoid embarrassing her, we can reciprocate. In addition, Rav Chaim Berlin lived 1832 to 1912. He was asked by a student of his, learned in the yeshiva, then his student went out into the quote-unquote business world, the real world, and he was having this challenge. What do I do when women extend their hands? Am I permitted to reciprocate? So Rav Chaim Berlin wrote a tshuva, a response. He says, Vadai im yuchal yizar bezematav. If you can avoid it, that's the best thing to do. You need to avoid it. However, aval im ef shalo linatzam yizar. But if you can't avoid it, for example, she's the one who initiated. She's standing there right in front of you, extending the hand. What are you going to do? Vein data l'shum hiru chas v'shalom. And your mind is clear. You have no inappropriate lustful thoughts. Ein lahachmir b'zeh. We do not have to be strict on this. V'daracher darachei noam. The ways of the Torah are pleasant. And we have to make a kiddush Hashem. V'avta Hashem elokecha. The Gemara makes a drush of that we should make the name of God loved by all people who view us. And then he has a great statement. V'lo yomru al yirei Hashem. That they shouldn't say about God-fearing people. Shehem mishugoyim. That they are nuts. Ve'einam bale derech eretz. And they don't have derech eretz. So he brings in those faras. We are only in the shach. We have to be in the shach. If our mind is not pure, we cannot reciprocate. However, if we are in the shach and she initiates, obviously we have to have in mind l'shem shemaim. We have to mind. We want to come off as proper and polite. Then we would permit, according to Rav Chaim Berlin, to reciprocate. Now, what happens in the real world out there, in the workplace, the vast majority of people are lenient. That's what I've seen. People working on Wall Street, people interacting, there are some who are strict, and will explain to the woman, I'm sorry, I can't, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But the majority of people are lenient that I've seen. So even if you're lenient, we need to prepare up front. Meaning if we can avoid the situation, we should. One way to avoid it, this is what I do, is I have my bag and I try to hold it. So it dissuades her from trying to extend because my hand is busy. I hold a file in your bag, something like, you know, your bag, your file, something that you're handing. Now also, in real dangerous areas when there are threats of women hugging, I have a business partner, non-Jewish business partner, who is very attuned to this, and we get along great because I don't want the hugs and he does. So he actually runs interference for me. He actually played football when he was in college. So he's in front of me. I'm in back of him. He takes the hugs. He takes out the lady. And that's how we work it. So they're not doing that. Baruch Hashem. They're not clipping you from the back. So that works out okay. There are people I've actually met these people and seen it in action that will pretend they have a cold. Sorry, I'm not feeling well. I don't make you sick. They pretend to sneeze into your hand. Oh, she extends. She's like, I don't want to go there. You know, that only works one time. It doesn't work like the second time you meet the same person, the third person. I'm not that into it. There are people that will extend the business. She reaches out and they have a business card ready and will just hand the business card, trying to be sensitive to her. So that's also something that's done. So there was one person that a Rav here that told me that he has a friend that when a woman is extending, he'll said, because of my religion, I don't shake hands with beautiful women. I don't like that because that is called flirting. So I don't think that is a good way to do it. One thing that we can do, if somebody wants to be machmir, the majority view is to be machmir, is to be up front and say, sorry, because of my religion, I don't shake hands, say it a nice way, with a smile. I do know a woman in Los Angeles, she works at her husband owns, and she owns a company of spices and candies, and they often meet with male reps, And there was one time she always carries the boxes, and because of that, to keep her hands busy, they can they can't shake her hand. But when somebody tries to shake her hand, she simply says, "Sorry, because of my religion, I can't shake your hand." It happened that she did that once. She was explaining it to a really huge rep at a supermarket and said, "No problem," and he gave her a bear hug. So, but that was, she said, it was once in 14 years that it backfired. I told her it's much easier for a woman to explain that to a man, to explain that, "Sorry, I can't touch you." That doesn't come off as the most polite. So I once gave this topic in Cleveland, Ohio, and a Rav came up afterward. I give this share. A rabbi not from Cleveland came up afterward and said it was great until the end, where you made it sound like it was 50-50, meaning Machmir Meko, strict and not strict, and the majority view, and especially because Rav Moshe Feinstein is strict, he didn't like how I came out, and he's right. He's 100% right. The majority view is to be strict. Having said that, the needs of the business world out there, if we are in the shach and our mind is clear and pure, then if we can try to avoid it, avoid it. But we do have on what to be lenient. I did speak with Rabbi Yitzhak Breidowitz about this, and he said he is lenient. He says his view was that the majority of Rabbanim in the United States of America are lenient on this question, and when a woman tries to extend hands to her, he does reciprocate to not embarrass her. Rav Herschel Schechter of YU, the Rosh Hashiva of YU, is lenient. Rav Mordechai Willig of YU is lenient, but he requests a dead fish handshake. Don't make it too long, strong, make a dead fish, like a little weak handshake. But that's where he comes out. So in a nutshell, and we're going to have to close because the next year is going to start shortly. We've gone through the sugya of Negia. Negia is something that could be an Isser Doraisa or it could be Mutter, depending on the facts and circumstances. And the critical thing for us when we're out there in the real world is try to avoid the situations. If it does present itself, if it does come up, as long as we are in the shach, it can be lenient. On just one more point on the medical side of things, and then we'll close. Doctors they also have to be in the shach. I do have a friend who is a dermatologist who told me that when every touch touches a woman or girl, regardless of the age, he wears gloves. He wears rubber gloves, surgical gloves. That does help in order to not feel the skin. So that is something indeed that those of you who are going into the medical area, that is something that should be done, unless you're doing very very careful surgery that may not work. But otherwise, it's a wise thing to do. Okay, guys, have a great week. I'll take questions outside because...